Welcome back to Yahoo Finance Live, everyone. Just a minute and some change away from the end of today's trading session here. I want to introduce our panel that's standing by for once the closing bell rings. We'll get their live analysis here. We've got Anna Han, who is the Wells Fargo Securities Equity Strategist, as well as Michael Lee, who is the Michael Lee Strategy Founder. Thanks to both of you so much for joining us here today. We'll get back to this panel in a hot second. I want to take a quick look at where levels stand going into the closing bell as of right now. You've got major averages in positive territory across the board, roughly we'll round it off to a 7% swing that we've seen on the NASDAQ nearly on the day as we started off the day down by 3.5%. Right now, looks like we're about to close up by about 3.3%. S&P 500, that's up by 1.5%. And then additionally, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, you're seeing gains there of 102 points or 0.3% there. Sectors mixed on the day. You've got more advancers than decliners now. Technology leading the charge. We'll continue to track that going into Friday's activity. But here is the closing bell.
And that is the closing bell this Thursday, February 24th. What a stunning reversal to the upside we saw across U.S. equity markets. All three major averages closing in positive territory, shaking off losses from session lows, particularly seeing a major move to the upside in the NASDAQ composite, up about 3.3%. The S&P 500 up about more than 1.5%. It had been down by about 2.6% at session lows, and also seeing the Dow Jones Industrial Average eking out gains after being down by more than 800 points at its worst point of the session. But turning back to our panel now for more analysis on the market action that we saw today. Michael, I want to get your response first. What a rebound we saw during today's session. What do you think equity investors were taking favorably from today's developments? And should we be bracing for more volatility from here?
Yeah, look, I think volatility is going to be a constant for the time being. I think there's a tremendous amount of uncertainty as to where the Fed is going to go and what inflation is going to do. And that is out of the headlines at the moment because of Russia. However, I think that's a key driving force. This morning, as markets are selling off, as I'm waking up at 5:45, I'm getting text messages and phone calls from people saying, what should I buy? So I think there's an attitude out there that this was a pretty substantial sell-off. You look at things like the AAII Investor Sentiment Survey in the ultra bearishness. We were due for a relief rally. To see it happen in this fashion on this day, I can only surmise that's because so many people were hedged and short to the downside that as there was a little bit of strength, there was a lot of short covering and then a little bit of momentum to the upside.
And Anna, what do you think about today's moves? Do you think there were opportunities that you were advising taking advantage of here? Or do you think opportunities have now emerged with this move to the upside, potentially signaling a time to buy for investors?
Well, one thing I like that Michael pointed out there was, what do we buy? That's a question I've been getting as well, because there's two ways to play it when you have a high volatility environment. One, you can go defensive, but the defensive haven't been the sexy trade, and they're not really what people are going into, and no one's really heading for the hills here. On the other hand, you can play offense, and the question is, what can we ride as the macro drop here is the Fed is tightening? We have some uncertainty, but we know what's coming in historical sense, that with rates higher, you know that cyclicality play, and with consumer spending and services spending coming back strong, you can expect that these kind of COVID beta and reopening plays should, in a long term, play out. So that's sort of the approach we're taking, but something to keep in mind as well, one day performance is one day performance. Most of our investors are a bit longer term, several months, maybe a year. And if you think about in that picture, we are down 10% year to date. So we do think there's still opportunities to play on the upside.
And certainly what a difference a day makes. Michael, I want to bring you in and circle back to what you said about the AAII Investor Sentiment Survey, which measures the mood of individual investors. That's at a one-year bearish high of 53.7%. How can individual investors maximize their investment opportunities compared with some of these large institutional investors right now?
Well, it's the advantage that the individual investor has versus the institutional investor is you're not tied to quarterly performance. So you can take that longer term horizon and try to figure out what works for you and what you want in your portfolio. So the value trade that they've been talking about this year is mostly been led by financials and energy. And shockingly today, energy was down big. And so even if this crisis in Ukraine completely diffuses, I'm still a big fan of energy because you have a dramatic contango going on right there created by a supply demand imbalance. And the bull case for oil and for energy for the XLE is that there simply isn't enough supply to meet the demand. You're starting to see that with front month contracts more expensive than future contracts, meaning people will pay a premium to get their oil right now. I don't see that changing. Okay, this Ukraine Russia conflict that's going on right now, while very serious, won't really have a very material impact on the United States. I think once the economy is chugging along in America, despite its challenges, despite the deceleration of growth, it's very hard to stop it without a massive debt bubble. I don't see one coming anytime soon. So what I'd say to the individual investors is now find things that are cheap, because I'd imagine they'd play out over the next year or two. And if you don't like things that are necessarily cheap, there's still some high quality names out there that had some great days today. It'd probably be better to buy them this morning on the open than today on the close. But there's definitely opportunity in a market that's down double digits from its all time high.
And as Michael was mentioning, that obviously Ukraine and Russia getting the bulk of the headlines as a global issue. But then what about, you know, the Fed pressures and everything else? How is that informing your equity market outlook short term versus longer term?
Well, I think what we got to keep in mind is, yes, the U.S. economy has pretty low exposure directly to Ukraine and the situation with Russia. However, the important here is, how does it affect inflation expectations? And that's really what we're keeping an eye on. For us, as that inflation becomes a variable for corporates, the potential for it to eat away at earnings, or potential for it to really steer the Fed to accelerate or decelerate that rate hike schedule, that's what we're looking at. But keep in mind as well, depending on that, like you said, the short-term or long-term investment style, short-term, we do expect that volatility can remain. There is still uncertainty, and investors still should tread or expect a little more portfolio tracking risk than they've seen perhaps in the past. But in a longer term view, we think that, again, the exposure to the U.S. directly is limited. It will really be up to the Fed to set that pace for us, whether they want to shock the markets with a more aggressive or be on pace and go with the consensus, which looks like we're expecting 25 bips in March.
Okay, so staying with you for a second, Anna, because when we think about what the Fed will do and what was in play today, it seemed that investors were largely taking what they knew about the situation with what the Fed was going to have to do and perhaps stepping off of some of their more hawkish or more aggressive measures, at least in the near term, to say this is a buying opportunity, not just because of the dip and buying on the dip or this FOMO mentality that might be out there of missing that buying opportunity, but also because what we know the Fed is more likely to react on and be not just data dependent, but also all of the variable dependencies, especially from international conflict. So how do you expect the Fed to now squarely address what that international conflict is, the same way that they had to with regard to the U.S. and China trade war a few years back?
That is a situation we've actually been comparing this to, so I'm glad you brought that up. The way we see it for now, we think the Fed will proceed with the focus really on inflation readings and on unemployment. And unemployment is quite low when you look at historical comparison. But of course, we do expect them to mention the situation with Russia or Ukraine, to be eyes wide open. But I think that the way the energy market has been, despite energy markets pulling back today, just in the broader scale year to date, you've seen that the inflation pressure is there. And that's something the Fed really wants to get a hold of, because they don't want a situation where we have stagflation down the road. They don't want to fall behind the curve here. So for now, our house view, that the Fed will proceed with a hike 25 basis points. They will remain very vigilant on how they address inflation. But were we really to see a bigger impact or something that was unpredictable from Russia-Ukraine situation hitting domestically, I think that's when maybe they would consider slowing down. But that doesn't look to be in the cards right now.
And similar question to you as well, Michael. Outside of the kind of international crisis that we've been tracking and the conflict there, what would cause the Fed to have pause in their strategy going forward in the data dependency that they've said they are going to be leaning into at this time?
Well, you know, what I would say, if we start seeing the month over month inflation numbers go from 1% growth month over month to 0.1%, if we see a slowing of the growth of inflation, a massive deceleration, which I don't necessarily think is going to happen. But I mean, if the next CPI print came out and we had a very large year over year number, but a low month over month number, I could see, you know, the dot plot and the Fed fund futures changing dramatically. I think what's going on right now, what's causing the volatility is you have smart people out there saying, you know, we're only going to see three or four hikes, and you have other people saying we're going to see eight or nine hikes. And the range of the consensus viewpoint is simply too wide for stocks to make a major footing, either higher or, as we saw today, lower. So I think if we see a massive deceleration month over month, that's all that really would give the Fed cover. I don't, you know, maybe if this Russia-Ukraine really, really deteriorates into other countries, you know, let's hope that doesn't happen. We're not going to have to play out that scenario. But we would need a massive extraneous event other than the data really coming in much better than most are predicting right now.
All right. We do thank you for your insights. Michael Lieber, Michael Lee, strategy founder, and Anna Hahn, Wells Fargo Security Equity Strategist. Thank you for joining us today.